Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We have more madness to discuss as the basketball season is continuing to shock us in the NCAA tournament, both on the men's and women's side. We still have five ACC teams alive, and so we're going to dive into those today. Eric McLean, it's been a wild ride so far. Both the women's and men's tournaments have been roller coasters.
A little bit of heartbreak, a little bit of upsets. It's been interesting to watch this. But before we dive in too far into the tournament, Kelly, I want to tell our friends about Traeger Grills. Guys, look, nothing beats the taste of food cooked over wood. And this weekend, I'm going to be burning a ton of wood pellets with my Traeger grill. Guys, it's my dear, dear friend, my brother-in-law, Cannon Smith. It's his bachelor party this weekend. So tonight, I'm going low and slow and smoking up three racks of Louisiana spare ribs. And then Sunday, I'm cranking it up and filling the Traeger with wings. Y'all, I am so excited. And that's the beauty of the Traeger grill. It has that 6-in-1 versatility. You can grill, you can smoke, bake, roast, braise, or barbecue like an absolute pro. I promise you guys, you will thank me later. But right now, you need to go to TraegerGrills.com/ACC and find your local Traeger dealer today.
Mac, before you said my great friend Cannon, I thought you were about to say my great friend, my Traeger grill. That's really where I thought you were going.
Well, you know, he's a friend of mine too. So he's a great
you guys
friend.
Are
he never
besties.
Lets me down. Never lets me down.
No, you guys are very close. No
That's
doubt.
Right. All right, Kelly. Well, let's dive in a little bit to this tournament. We're going to start with the losers. We're not going to take too much time here. Both these games were a little ugly, sad to say. But in the second round, the 7-seed Virginia Tech, I mean, they just got overwhelmed. 48-90 by the 2-seed in Baylor. And then Cuse, the 8-seed, 47, the number 1 seed, former Big East foe, UConn 83. Kelly, what did you see in both of these games?
Tough way to end for both Syracuse and Virginia Tech, but that's the risk you take when you play, when your regular season ends you up as a 7, 8, or 9 seed, because you're going to have to play a 1 or a 2 in the second round. And it just depends who you draw. We've had some 1 and 2s look pretty vulnerable. Louisville looked vulnerable. We're going to talk about that. Texas A&M should have lost. The Zebras helped out the Aggies a little bit there. South Carolina Stanford played a closer game. South Carolina blew out Oregon State. So we've seen some somewhat vulnerable looking 1s and 2s, but UConn and Baylor are not those teams. Those two are playing incredibly good basketball. So tough way to end for Virginia Tech and Syracuse, but still, I thought Syracuse underwhelmed a little bit just with their talent level, but Tiana Monacahia put out a video and just talked about her struggle, and I can't imagine, you know, coming back from breast cancer and just not being the same player. So we salute her. She has been absolutely inspiring, and she's going to go on to do great things. And then Virginia Tech, the future is very bright. Made their first tournament since 2006. Liz Kitley is an absolute monster. I'm going to keep talking about her. Our guy, Aaron Katzman, who's one of our producers at ACC Network, he texted me, he said, is Liz Kitley going to be your Dana Evans next year? And I said, yes. I'm going to be all on that Liz Kitley train because she is amazing. So great seasons for both of those teams, Mac, but let's move on to the winners.
Come on. Then there's a handful here, which is always a great thing. We'll start with Georgia Tech, the 5-seed. They upset big time. And guys, this was a tail whipping. The 4-seed, West Virginia, Georgia Tech 73, West Virginia 46. Look, we told you guys, Georgia Tech did not play well in round one. They almost got themselves beat, and then they put on an absolute show. Kelly, what happened in this one?
You know, we see this sometimes. Round one, especially teams that haven't been to the tournament forever, but that nucleus of players hasn't been, they just look nervous. They just look tight. And that's what we saw from Georgia Tech. And I gave them all the credit in the world for fighting back, down 17. By the way, Mac, both Louisville and Georgia Tech, two of the biggest comebacks in NCAA tournament history.
Wow.
So far in this tournament. But Georgia Tech did not need a comeback against West Virginia. They dominated. And here's the bottom line with Tech. They have South Carolina coming up. We're going to talk about that. Georgia Tech brings their defense. They're going to guard. They're gritty. They're tough. Kubai is a menace inside. If they make shots, And by they, I really mean Lotnin. Lodemai Lotnin, first team all ACC performer. She has to make shots because it spreads the floor out for them and it opens things up and it puts pressure on the other team. And she did that against West Virginia, 22 points, four threes. She was excellent. So that's really the key. They are always going to guard, but if they want to keep advancing, I think Lotnin is the key player for Tech. She has to show up, and she did against West Virginia.
There's no question. You got a giant coming up. We'll get to kind of our picks. We're going to pick these games in a little bit, Kelly, so I hope you're ready there. Let's move on to the two seed. Your Louisville Cardinals, my Louisville Cardinals, they just had two very bad starts in a row. This one, they come back. They get the victory over the seven seed in Northwestern, 62-53. But this has just been weird. And Dana Evans is struggling. And I think a young lady that we thought was going to be player of the year, we thought was going to be really just dynamite going into this, postseason for her team. She's struggling and cannot get the three ball to fall. What are you seeing from Louisville right now?
And that happens, Mac. That happens. Now, Dana, ACC Player of the Year. I have been the president of the Dana National Player of the Year fan club. But with how she's played the last month, that's going to be tough, just being honest. But her team is still winning ball games, and they're finding a way. And I think you can look at this two ways. The positive way for Louisville is that other players are stepping up. Haley Van Lith made some huge plays down the stretch against Northwestern.
And by the way, did not miss a shot.
No, did not miss a shot. She was in foul trouble early, so imagine if she wasn't. I think that was part of Louisville's issues in the first half. But she is so good. I mean, I feel like Beckers and Caitlin Clark and these other players are getting all the attention, these other freshmen. And Van Lith is saying, look, I'm pretty good too. So
well, you think about those other players too, is they're the girl. They don't have a Dana Evans. They're not, a part of this team that has that established person. I think HVL next year goes berserk.
No doubt. And she's a team player.
That's right.
She wants to win, point blank. I've spoken with her, and that's exactly where she is. So that's all that matters to her at Louisville. She doesn't have to be the person that's out there taking 20 shots a game, but they don't win that game without her. And then Kiana Smith made some huge buckets too, and Olivia Cochran was a monster inside. So the good news is that other players are stepping up. The bad news is Dana is still really struggling from three. And look, shooters hit slumps. You just really hope your slump is not in March, and it's happening to be in March for Dana. And the way you get out of a slump, Mac, it's really scientific. You keep shooting. That's what you do. You keep shooting. So I think Dana's going to get out of that slump at some point. It's just a matter of time. And Louisville's hoping it happens sooner rather than later. What I saw from Northwestern, Mac, I felt like for a second, is the Syracuse men's zone in this tournament? Because Northwestern came out with that 2-3 matchup zone, and Louisville didn't know what to do. And that's what the Syracuse zone and this Northwestern zone does to you. They force you to take threes early, and if you're not making them, which Dana even mentioned, we didn't see shots go in early. If you're not making them, you get tight, and you get nervous, and you start pressing, especially if the other team is playing well offensively, which Northwestern was. And so just credit all the credit to Louisville for fighting back, for staying positive, for mentally staying in that game. But I thought their zone gave them some issues. And we'll see what Oregon does. Maybe Oregon looks at that and says, we'll play some zone. Because the way that Dana was struggling to shoot it, that was a big issue. But overall, shout out to Louisville. Because after that first quarter, down 25-10, look, I'm a president of the Louisville fan club. I've been advocating for Louisville all year. And I was worried. I was very worried. So Louisville found a way, Mac. That's why we call it madness.
That's right. That's right. I don't want to, hone in on the negative too much here, but I think it is very interesting. And the fact that you were, such a sharp shooter and that being such a big part of your game, what is the biggest, I guess, slump that you were ever in? Was it two games, three games, four games, a week, 2 weeks? I mean, what did it look like for you when you're doing that? And do you think Dana, I mean, can she turn it around in this tournament and still, get them to where they want to be?
Dana can 100% turn it around. The biggest slump for me, it was my junior year when I was playing a lot. And I want to say it was four games where I bet it averaged out to 1-for-5 in four straight games. And this was the year that earlier in the season, I hit 15 threes in two games. So, I was feeling good and I was shooting the ball really well. And a slump just hit me. And it was the middle of the ACC season. You get exhausted, you get tired, and mentally you're in that slump. And the biggest thing that I did is just staying in the gym, staying on that gun, getting shots up with my managers, and just shoot. And I know when I say that, people kind of laugh, but you have to shoot your way out of a slump. That's the only thing you can do. It's like in baseball, you know, when you're in a slump, you just keep getting up there, and eventually you're going to get out of it because your preparation is carrying you that far. So this slump for Dana has lasted longer than I kind of thought it was, but she just has to keep shooting because it's going to happen. She's that good of a shooter. At one point this year, she was shooting 40% from three. So it's going to happen eventually. And it's tough right now, Mac, because they don't have that much practice time. She can't exactly get on the gun. This is a tough time to be in a slump because just spending hours in the gym, you can't do that right now. And I wonder too, Mac, if the constant change of venue is messing with Dana a little bit. She hasn't played in the Yum Center in forever, and that's where she feels comfortable. In a normal tournament, they would have just played in the Yum Center because they would have been hosting. And then you're going from these small gyms in this tournament. They're playing at UTSA, and then you're playing at the Alamo Dome. Like, that's a huge change. Now, the Sweet 16 games will all be in the Alamo Dome, so maybe she'll get more time practicing there. But shoot or shoot, Mac. You got to shoot your way out of a slump.
That's right. Just keep shooting. All right, how about our only one seed in this entire tournament on the men and women's side, NC State? Actually, this is kind of weird. Score 79 points for the second straight game to beat the 8th seed in USF. 79-67. It was a great game. I think a great team effort. Was a little bit weird to me that we didn't see Kunane really just dominate and kind of be that superstar that we thought or know she is. Not thought. There's no questioning it. But what did you see from the Wolfpack and moving forward?
Well, I called this game and I'm still not worried about NC State. Like, I know they were down at half and then they came back and turned it on in the third quarter. But the bottom line is USF had a very particular plan, a very particular set of skills. They had a plan here, and they're deep in the post position. They have like five post players, and their goal was to use 25 fouls. I mean, that was their plan. They were just going to beat her up, and that's what they did, and it worked in the first half. The refs tightened it up a little bit in the second half, and Kanane got to the free throw line. You don't want to send Kanane to the free throw line. She's the best post free throw shooter in the country. So keep that in mind. But USF is also good. I thought they were underseeded as an 8 seed, the American champions. They're a good team. So I'm not worried about NC State. I am worried about Kayla Jones. When is she coming back? Is she going to play in the Sweet 16? That's the biggest question. And they miss her mainly because they miss her for depth reasons. Jada Boyd has been starting the sixth player of the year in the ACC, and she's been amazing. She's been excellent, had 18 points against South Florida. She is a very talented player, but when they start her, they have really no punch off the bench. So that is the question. When will she come back? And that's going to continue to be a question throughout this tournament. Can they beat Indiana without her? Yes. Can they beat A&M without Kayla Jones? Perhaps, because A&M has struggled and should have lost to Iowa State. But can they beat Baylor or UConn without her? No. So that's my big question there is, when will Kayla Jones return?
Yeah, you definitely want all your firepower in this tournament, especially a tournament like this where anything can happen. And then the craziness is there's no shortage of it at all. All right, that was a little bit of a review. Let's go for the preview here for the women's side of the tournament.
Let's make some picks.
That's right. Let's make some picks on the Sweet 16. All right, we just spoke about number one NC State. We're going to keep that trend going. They play this coming Saturday at 6 p.m. on ESPN2 against the 4 seed. Indiana. Tell me what we should be watching in this matchup, Kelly.
Indiana is, how do I describe them? I just feel like they're very solid. They're solid. They're fundamentally sound. And when you think Indiana, you may think shooters. They actually do not shoot the three well. So keep that in mind. But they score in the paint. They score like 50% of their points in the paint. Their defensive rebounding rate is 75%, which means they grab 75% of all available defensive rebounds, which means offensive rebounds are going to be at a premium. And so that's where NC State, I think, has to really focus in, is trying to grab O boards, get second chances. Jada Boyd's been great in that. Kayla Jones would help if she's back. And again, that's the big question. Will she be back for this game? I think NC State has enough firepower to beat Indiana without Kayla Jones. I think Kanane is going to have a better game against Indiana. And then Jakia Brown-Turner has been awesome. The sophomore guard who I had first team all ACC, She's so talented. JBT is what we call her. Watch her play. She is one of the smoothest players in the league. She just makes it look effortless, really smooth lefty. So I am taking NC State in this game, Mac. I respect Indiana. I think Indiana is a very solid team, but I think NC State just has too much firepower with or without Kayla Jones. So I'm taking the Wolfpack.
I'm going with the Wolfpack as well. And I think Kunane, like you said, is going to have a much better game. I think she's going to play like the All-American, the best center in the country. And I think they get the dub there. Let's move on to the 5-seed. This one a little bit more difficult of a matchup for our ACC teams here. Georgia Tech is going to be facing number one South Carolina. That game is Sunday, 1 p.m. on ABC. Kelly, it's going to be a tall.
Wait, Mac, what channel is it on?
ABC.
ABC.
Prime time, big time.
Let's go.
Come on.
This is the first time ever.
Oh, wow.
That the NCAA Women's Tournament has been on ABC. It's been on ESPN, but it's the first time we're getting games on ABC. That's a huge deal. Okay, continue.
It's massive. I don't know what else we can much say about it. I think for this game, Georgia Tech, we know they can defend. Kelly just told us a little while ago they're great at that. But can they continue to score at a high level? Can they shoot the ball well? I mean, if you want to beat a giant, you've got to be able to hang with them offensively. Defense only gets you so far. You've got to agree with me, Kelly, huh?
That's well said, Mac. Defense only gets you so far. You can get some stops. You can make the game ugly, but you have to score. Now, here's where I see some hope for Georgia Tech in this game, because everyone's going to be picking South Carolina, and, you know, they should. Like, South Carolina's the giant here. South Carolina is coming off a game against Oregon State where they shot 1 of 15 from 3. It pains me to say that, Mac. 1 of 15. What are we doing? So South Carolina's had these games. They did this against UConn. They really struggle to shoot the 3. Now, sometimes they get hot, and that's when they blow people out. But they're not a great 3-point shooting team. So if I'm Georgia Tech, I would consider, and Georgia Tech is mainly a man team, but I would consider playing some zone. Now, I don't know how comfortable Nell feels about that, just implementing that and focusing on it this week in practice.
And that's what I was actually going to ask you that. When you have a team that does struggle like this, and when they struggle, I mean, they lose or can lose. Mm-hmm. How much do you alter a game plan? I mean, do you feel comfortable doing that? Is that based on what you practice? Would you ever, I guess, run something that maybe you've never done in a game before?
Mac, it's a great question. Now, I just did a little research looking up on Synergy, and I've called a few Georgia Tech games, so I figured I was leaning. They play a bunch of man. On Synergy, which is a kind of in-depth basketball site with numbers for all the teams, Georgia Tech has played zone 3.4% of their defensive possessions.
So you're saying there's a chance, Kelly. There's a chance they do it.
They don't play a lot of zone. And maybe you sprinkle in a little zone, right? You play man mainly, but you sprinkle in some zone because Aaliyah Boston is a monster. And I know Kubai is too, but Boston is a problem, okay? She's a problem to deal with. And I think their best bet here is to force South Carolina to take outside shots because their dribble drives are excellent. Like, they're going to get to the bucket. So if you can zone them a little bit and just pick your moments, I think that would be good for Georgia Tech. But as I said earlier, the bottom line for them is they've got to make some outside shots. They have to get some production from Lautinen and from Kiera Fletcher. I don't want to doubt Georgia Tech. I love Nell Fortner. Hashtag Nell, yeah. She's excellent. But, Mac, I think South Carolina is the pick here.
Well, I know that hurts you to say that. And, you know, as a proud Clemson alum, you will never, ever find me cheering for that school over in the Midlands. But I think USC is going to win the game, too. They're good. They're really good. And of course,
see, Mac, this just shows you're a professional.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I get, you know, somewhat paid to do this. So, I think that if, you know, Georgia Tech can get them uncomfortable, can throw some zone at them and freak them out, maybe there's a chance. But, you know, U of SC, they're really good. And, I think they get it done. Let's move on to the 2-seed, Louisville, the struggling Cardinals. I know it's probably annoying that we keep saying that, but it's just true. They're going against Oregon, who is hot on social media. They're running rampant. They've got a weight room. They're figuring it all out on the court. I like you, I think they were a little bit underseeded. I think they're better than a 6-seed. Those guys play Sunday, 7 p.m. on ESPN. I've got to think this is the game that Dana takes over and shows her player of the year. This is who I am. I'm winning this game. But We just haven't seen it yet. And maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe she just doesn't have that clutch factor when it comes playoff postseason type time. What do you think in this matchup?
It's crazy because she has been clutch in her whole career. She hit a huge shot against Notre Dame this year. She hit the game winner against Wake Forest. If Dana breaks out of her slump, this game won't be close, in my opinion. If she doesn't, then we're right back where we've been, where other players have to step up for Louisville. The biggest issue for Louisville is their starts. You can't start slow like that against Oregon. Northwestern and Marist are not exactly Oregon offensively. So you can't start slow. We'll see how Dana plays. I think for her, and one thing that Jeff Walls has been telling her is, you know, she's feeling that pressure. Whenever you're in a slump, the person who wants you to get out of the slump the most is yourself. Like, you're just putting so much pressure on yourself. So she has to focus on her defense. She has to focus on other things and just kind of take the mental side out of it. Just play. But Oregon upset Georgia. This is a good team, to your point, Mac. Sedona Prince is a problem inside. She's very tall. She's got great skills. She had 22 points against Georgia. I'm picking Louisville, I think. But if they get off to a slow start, that's not going to work against Oregon. But I'm putting my faith in Dana. I have been a Dana stan since the beginning. I'm not changing now. And I'm taking Louisville in this game.
Are you leaning Louisville or are you taking Louisville? Because there's a difference.
She's taking
them. Okay. Well, you said so I just wanted to clarify for the listeners. I'm taking Louisville as well. And I actually kind of, not breaking news or secret news, but I picked Louisville to win the Natty. I thought that Dana was going to be able to put on this crazy run and really solidify, you know, cement her status as one of the all-time greats. Hasn't done it yet, but I think this is the game she bounces back. I think Haley Van Lith goes crazy. I want to see those two take another step and play together and dominate together. And I think that's when we can see them go on a run. So I'm taking Louisville there as well.
I like it, Mac. I like your faith. And I know you and Jeff Walls have become buddies since
best friends.
Pod,
he wished me happy birthday.
No,
he's a great guy.
Wait, did he really?
He did.
Oh,
yeah,
my
gosh. It was great.
What a guy.
It was great. So we're best friends.
Guy.
You know, it's awesome. Let's move on to the men's side where we have much less to talk about, but yet we still have something to talk about. A little bit of a preview.
Thankfully.
That's right. Thankfully. Golly, Syracuse, what would we do without you? The Sweet 16 preview on the men's side. Number 11, America's team, the 11 seed Syracuse versus the 2 seed Houston. Listen, we talked about it when we were previewing Clemson at the beginning of this tournament. If there's a 2 seed you want, it's Houston. Well, Syracuse has them, and they're playing them Saturday at 9:55. Kelly Gramlich will be asleep p.m. on TBS. I'll have to text her updates in the morning about the game. I mean, I've got a bunch of questions for you here. Number one, can Buddy continue to light it up? I think he can. It's obviously a different arena. You know, you have it as cozy Hinkle Fieldhouse here, a kind of a shooter's
yes.
paradise. And then with Joe, can Joe and Buddy keep it going to keep the Cuse Orange dreams alive?
All right, Mac. Well, you are right to assume that after 10 p.m. I would be asleep. However, Buddy Boeheim is must-watch TV. And if there's anything I love watching shooters shoot the rock. So I'm going to be tuned in, there's no doubt, to the Syracuse-Houston game. And I think Buddy Boeheim can keep it going. That's the beautiful thing, and we were talking about this with Dana, too. If you're feeling good in a tournament setting, you're not practicing that much, so you don't have time to have a practice where, oh, man, I didn't shoot the ball well in practice. That's really not going to happen. So I think Buddy Boeheim is going to continue his hot streak and playing well. He's just on a different level right now with his confidence is through the roof. And I think playing in cozy Hinkle Fieldhouse is good. That's a shooter's gym. It's smaller. I love that. I think that's great for Syracuse. And Joe Girard has been playing better. That's a huge piece for them. Because if Girard goes 1-for-8 like he has in some of these other games, I think that's going to be a problem. Because on the flip side, Houston can shoot the ball. Houston shoots 36% from three as a team. This is a team that can shoot threes and can get a lot of points from beyond the arc. And Quentin Grimes, who is a Kansas transfer, is scoring 18 points per game. He's shooting 42% from three. So he's first and foremost. You've got to lock him down. And Houston has had time this week to prep for that Syracuse zone. I still don't know how it's going to look. I think Boeheim puts it perfectly. Actually, I think Jay Billis said this the other day when I was doing Pecker and Durham, that Boeheim's philosophy of why he plays zone, especially in the tournament, is, why would I play a defense that enables you to run your best offense? I play a defense that makes you run your second or third best offense that you probably don't work on that much. That is Boeheim's philosophy. And it makes a ton of sense. And it works in the tournament.
His entire like coaching philosophy, everything is around the tournament. It is the craziest. Like, he wants to get in these one-off games where you haven't seen this. You do not know how to prepare for it. It doesn't matter what we did all season. That's why he's always these double-digit, you know, seeded teams, and they make these crazy runs like they're doing right now.
The regular season does not matter to Boeheim and Syracuse. It's whatever. He's like a pro team. He's just waiting for the playoffs. Right. As long as they get in the playoffs, they're good to go. And so we'll see how Houston handles this zone. I think it's going to be really interesting. For me, though, Mac, I wanted to be a little different here, and I think Syracuse has played well, but Houston's a good team. Kelvin Sampson is familiar with Boeheim. He's familiar with this zone. After he saw the bracket, I'm sure he started thinking, okay, if we get Syracuse, what are we going to do? And I hate picking against the Cuse. I hate it, Mac, but I think the magical run comes to an end. I think Houston wins this game.
Did you guys hear that? That was a collective sigh and a tear that just fell from America as Kelly is predicting America's team to no longer be in the tournament. I'm not. I'm going with Cuse all the way.
Okay, I figured good.
Listen, they are shooting lights out. They're going against a team that shoots the ball really well. I think this is going to be one of our favorite games of the tournament. I think it's going to be three after three after three and just a battle, you know, back and forth. I mean, Grimes versus Buddy, I can't wait to watch it. And I think, like you said, when shooters get hot in a tournament setting, it is very easy to stay in fuego and just fill it up. And I think between Buddy and Dolezal, who has been an unbelievable X factor for Syracuse, passing, defensively getting charges, I think those two guys step up really big, and Cuse gets this unbelievable upset and goes into the Elite Eight. So I'm riding high. Call me a homer. Call me what you want. I'm going with the Orange.
I like it, Mac. We'll see. Here's the thing. If Syracuse beats Houston, which is very possible, then they have to play Sister Jean. And you know where my allegiances lie. So
look out. Look out. I mean, that would be a great game. I would love
Sister Jean. Final fours
that's
only.
Right. That's what she does.
For the
that's
sister.
She shows up.
That's
she's
what
going
she
to the four.
Does.
She's dancing all night. All right, let's move on to Florida State. The 4 seed versus the 1 seed in Michigan. That game is Sunday, 5 p.m. on CBS. Listen, if you guys remember way back when, it seems like so long ago now with all this craziness and madness in this tournament, we predicted if FSU and Michigan play that FSU would get the upset. And I think that still stands true. I think Michigan is still playing very well right now. I think with Isaiah Livers, if he comes back, that'll be a very interesting piece of this. But right now, I don't think he's listed as playing. So I think when you look at the size of Florida State, the length, the depth, all these things that we've talked about all year long, that's going to be a problem for Michigan. And they haven't really seen that. Now, we remember, Kelly, this is so funny to me, and I know it's mean and I'm picking on other conferences, but all I heard all year long was we're going to have three or four teams of the Big Ten in the Final Four, and there's only one left, and they may or may not about to be eliminated.
How does that even happen?
I don't know, but I love it because there's one conference that I can't.
I'll tell you how. Sister
Dean. That's right. But tell me what you're thinking about in this matchup. What does FSU have to do to win? What can Michigan do? What do you think?
This game is also must-watch TV. 5 o'clock Sunday, CBS. That's a better time there, Mac. That's a time I can get behind. I like it. This is a battle of two teams with a ton of size. I think these teams are very similar, Mac. They're super similar. Michigan has 5 players in double figures. They're very balanced. No one averages more than 13 points per game. Sounds a lot like Florida State, right? Now, Michigan does not have Isaiah Livers. To me, that would be like Florida State not having MJ Walker. That's the parallel. So think about it that way, because that would be a problem. Now, FSU has other guys that can step up, but MJ Walker is someone that you trust, and that's what Isaiah Livers is for Michigan. So I think this is going to be a battle of two teams that have a lot in common. Now, for me, when you look at Hunter Dickinson inside for Michigan, this guy's he's listed at 7'2". I don't know if that's right, but he's massive. So can you control him, and can you get him in foul trouble? Because he got in foul trouble against LSU. He fouled out. Michigan was fine, but that's still something to watch. And then FSU's done a really good job of limiting turnovers. They're playing more composed. Can they keep that up? That is the question. And I think a lot of that, Mac, to your point, falls on Scotty Barnes. Can he play more composed? Can he be that spark they need off the bench? But I think FSU is feeling good. I think Scotty Barnes is getting used to this tournament setting. Other players are playing really well. Anthony Polite had a great game. He stepped up. Raekwon Gray looks really good. They're looking more composed, and that's my biggest thing for FSU. And even if Isaiah Livers plays, which I don't think he will, he's not 100%. There's no way he can be. So, Mac, I am taking the Seminoles to win this game, to knock out the Big Ten. The Big Ten is
go
done.
Home, Big Ten.
Goodbye,
get out of here.
Big Ten. I'll see you later.
Kelly, I actually want – you gave me your pick with FSU, which I'm going with FSU as well. I want you to give me who is going to be the leading scorer for FSU in this game, because it's kind of just –
this
yeah,
is
I mean,
so hard.
Close your eyes and point at the roster and kind of pick who it is. But who give me, if you had to choose somebody, give me who it would be.
Okay. Picking the FSU leading scorer, I feel like you could put eight guys in a hat and you just pick out one.
We're actually doing that right now, guys. She's picking her
yeah,
selection
seriously.
Right now.
Let's see. I am leaning Scotty Barnes or MJ Walker because they have not been the leading scorer so far in this tournament. I think it was Raekwon Gray and then Anthony Polite. And as we've said, Scotty Barnes is really starting to get comfortable. I'm really intrigued how Michigan guards him and how they're able to contain him. So even though Michigan does have a lot of length, I'm going to say Scotty Barnes, Mac. That's your guy. You've been all over Scotty Barnes, and I think he delivers in this game.
You stole the pick right out under my feet, gave me good analysis. I can kind of bounce off of there.
Who is it for you?
I think it's going to be Scotty because I think this game is going to be played fast. I think it's going to be a lot of transition. I think he's going to get out in space and be able to do some funky things. The one I will have a little asterisk there. I think with that being said, what could happen is they find Koprivica, you know, coming down late. And I think he could be a guy if he gets some offensive rebounds. He's slashing through the middle of the lane running because he's a big – now, listen, he's 7'1", but he runs like a deer. He gets down the floor. Yes. He is a very offensive-minded guy.
And he's quicker than Dickinson. So if he can beat Dickinson down the floor, that's a good point, Mac.
So that's my asterisk. If it turns into that, you know, Koprivica could sneak in there and steal the title away from the scoring champ of this game.
Mac, I love it. That's an excellent pick. I'm so excited for the Sweet 16 on both sides. It's going to be so much fun to tune in to see what happens. We'll break it all down for you next week. And Mac, before we get out of here, this podcast is produced by the great Richmond Weaver, who has helped us so much throughout the launch of this pod and has made us better by making us sound great. So make sure you check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods. And Mac, I just want to tease this out too. We have some really fun stuff. The off season is approaching, all right? It's almost here. We have some amazing guests coming up. We have a really interesting, fun, big-time guest for Masters Week. So I'm just going to tease that out for the people, Mac.
Just look around. I think 2008 champion, guys, and that might give you a little hint of who's coming on for the Masters weekend. But we'll find out how sweet this Sweet 16 is going to be for our ACC teams. Guys, that's it for this episode of Gramlich and McLean, brought to you by Traeger Grills. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating. We're trying to get to 100. We're so close. If you guys can keep pushing that, get us over the hump, we would greatly appreciate it. But until next time, we'll see y'all.